presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. And here's your host for today's show, Casey Gisclair and Stan Grava.
Thank you very much, Joey D. We are live here in our LaRose studios. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, and we've got a jam-packed show coming your way. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk to some baseball coaches who were sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum last night. First, we'll have Joe Tuton of Covenant Christian Academy. His team lost a hard-fought game in the first round of the Division IV state playoffs. They have a chance today to move to the second round. They've got to win two ball games to do so. And then after we get done with Coach Joe, we're going to go to Vanderbilt Catholic, where we'll have their baseball coach, G. Cassard, on the line. Man, what a thrilling night for Vanderbilt baseball. They were down 1-0 in a series against De La Salle, won two dramatic and thrilling ball games to push their ticket to the next round. We'll talk to him about those games in about a half hour. Then we'll have Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill on the line as we talk a little bit of football for about 30 minutes straight. We'll have Gary Hill at 10:45 to talk about Terrebonne and those two big prize recruits that they have and another wonderful season they're looking to build next fall. Then at 11, we go across the way to Thibodaux to talk to E.D. White football coach Kyle Lesang, who's back in the saddle after a lot of time away. He's going to be looking to get some things back together over at E.D. White. And then at 11:15, Coach Brian Conley will be joining us, and we'll have an opportunity to actually talk to him about some Tarpon basketball. We spend time having him in here often talking about just different sports, and he sits and listens to other coaches talk about their teams. Well, now we're going to talk to him about some of the things that his team is doing as the Tarpons are getting ready to begin their summer workouts and all that good stuff. So, Stan, first off, man, how was your week, my friend?
Very good. Very good. Very laid back, which is always good, and I enjoy baseball, so I obviously kept up with all of the guys and how they were doing in the playoffs, and it looks like it's turning out okay for a few of our local teams. And, of course, a big draft in NFL. You're always kind of curious to see how that's going to work out. And it's been interesting to this point. So, yeah, it's been a really good week.
Wonderful. And next week, are you guys still ready and willing to feed us some crawfish here coming up?
Yes, we are. On Wednesday night, it'll be the big annual Coach's Crawfish Boil on the rooftop of TGMC's parking garage. We invite all of you guys from Lafourche and Terrebonne Parish coaches out there, CECP coaches, junior high coaches, you guys, Casey, obviously administrators, come on out and get some crawfish. It's going to be a really nice time. Gulf Coast Orthopedic supplies that. The Community Sports Institute is the host for that. Jambalaya also. Percy Mosley, a lot of you people know, cooks a terrific jambalaya. So we're really looking forward to that this week. And I might add this just a little bit, too, and it's something that just kind of popped in my head. We're also, and when I say we, the TGMC Community Sports Institute, are the presenting sponsor for the Run for Excellence this upcoming Saturday.
Nice.
And that's a huge race. As a matter of fact, it's the biggest race south of New Orleans, 5K road race. So we invite everybody to come out to that. It's a wonderful occasion just to have a good time, very carnival atmosphere. But it's also a very competitive race. There are some guys who run this thing that are really good, come in from all over the state and South Mississippi. So, again, that'll be next week, later in the evening on Saturday. So we invite everybody to that also.
Now, the school year is just about kind of sort of wrapping up here in the next couple of weeks. Baseball playoffs are going to end and the track's going to have their state meet. But things don't wrap up here for you guys. You guys stay busy through the summer getting ready for the next athletic year, which is going to be right around the corner.
It is. There was a point in time where we thought, we really, you know, thought the summers were going to be kind of laid back. And that is not the case when you're talking about high schools and even collegiate sports. The deal is now the Louisiana High School Athletic Association allows all of these teams to play sports during the summer. And when I say play sports, if you're football, a lot of them are playing in those 7-on-7 leagues. By the way, kudos for the article. Great article related to that. I agree with Coach Fournier, fake football, but necessary. Yeah. And then you have basketball, who has multiple leagues around the area. E.D. White does a league. Allender Memorial does a league. Then you have soccer, which has leagues during the summer now that are exclusively for the high schools. I know there's a great girls soccer league over in Raceland for high school kids. So you have all of these things going on. Well, they need athletic trainers, and that's what we do. We supply athletic trainers to the schools. So, yeah, we stay busy. And on top of all of that, you have all of the weight rooms, which are open during the summer. I can remember a time, just, you know, to date myself, that wasn't an issue in the summer. Kids didn't go work out in the summer. you had your summer to yourself. And I think a little bit of that is good, you know, having some time. But for the month of June, they get after it, and then they'll take that little break from around July 4th to, say, July 20th, 25th, and then they get back after it. And that is still prime time for our athletic trainers, because that's when they're stocking and they're evaluating and they're doing those things. So, yeah, it's a really busy time in the summer.
Now, last year and the last couple of years, I remember you guys inviting me out to, like, some speed and endurance camps and stuff. Is that going to be happening again?
That is, and actually it's the first year we can host it. We used to go out to each of the schools and do it. Now it's going to be hosted at the Sports Performance Training Center, and we have a track there. A lot of people don't realize that it's a 75-yard track. It's a speed track. It is set up as a combine track, so it's specifically geared to increase speed and strength, and it has all kind of equipment on it that is really neat. And I wish, Casey, I was smart enough to tell you exactly what each of them do, but I do go watch from time to time. And there are bands that are hooked up. There are electronic devices. And, again, it's all an effort to get kids faster. Well, this summer there are speed camps that are going to happen there, and they're hourly, and they're pretty much booked. I mean, you could go to TGMC.com and go to the Sports Performance Training Center link, and you can call in, and they'll consult with you and such. But we've had such an influx of kids coming up. That it's really tough to find spots in that thing. Everybody from 12, it caters from 12 to like 18 years old. So it's mostly geared towards those kids who are either about to start their athletic careers on the highest level. And when I say highest level, I'm talking about not necessarily travel ball or recreation ball, and through high school. So, yeah, it's a busy time for those guys in the gym. Interestingly enough, we just got these big banners in, and I know you know Gibby well, but it's big banner Gibby playing in Finland, and banner of Elijah McGuire that's up, and it's really neat, because now when you go in the gym, we just want it to be something that people can aspire to. And if you could look at Gibby, who is such a nice, humble kid, not a little kid, but he's a nice, humble kid, and you look over on the other side and you see Elijah McGuire, and you see people like Jamal Nixon, who played in the CFL, and you see Christian Boutte, who's trying to hook on with an NFL team right now, and guys who are playing collegiate, Molly Thompson, who's terrific at LSU in soccer. And if you could look at those pictures and aspire that they're from here, we can be like that, it's really, really a good thing. And that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to be there for the community for a service that maybe they couldn't have got otherwise.
That's a wonderful thing, my friend. And lastly here, athletic physicals free to the children of Terrebonne Parish and beyond. That's going to be coming up soon as well. And
yeah, that's May 11th. That's actually a big item for us. And I did mention, I have to rescind something just a little bit. I talked about the Run for Excellence. That's the 11th, too. That's actually late in the afternoon on the 11th. But in the morning, that morning is the big free physicals for all of the kids, primarily in Terrebonne Parish, but if somebody comes in from out of parish, we always handle that. As a matter of fact, we've had kids who've come in from Central primarily, because Central kind of borders right up against us in the Bayou Blue area. They'll come in. I'll make sure I get those physicals from the physicians who perform them, send it on to Shelley at Central. If it happens for Brian at South, we'll send it on to Brian. Nonetheless, it's a great experience, because it's done as efficiently as possible. Each school goes through in about a half hour, but it's also done well. It's not, you know, a quick fly-by-night physical. And no kid has an excuse not to get a physical. You can't say, I didn't have the money to go do it. They're offered and they're free. So get it out of the way. It lasts for one calendar year. So if you're going to play any athletic endeavor that is mandated by the Louisiana High School Athletic Association, you have to have that physical. Again, on May 11th in the morning, starts at 9 o'clock. This year, it's at H.L. Bourgeois' main spectator gym. So it's in the big gym over at H.L. Bourgeois. In the past, it was always at Terrebonne, but it was moved. And obviously, because they're putting in a turf field, and that's where we would filter the kids in, through the back of the gym. And you can't do that now, obviously, with the field being put there. I must say, it's not a public school thing either. It's public and private.
Awesome.
Again, I say this, and I know people get tired of it. I can't believe at my age I'm sitting here saying that there are eight high schools in Terrebonne Parish. But there are eight high schools. When I was a kid, you know, you had three or four, and now we're double. So, it's a great thing, and I applaud all of the physicians from the area who come out and give up their time. They charge nothing. It's their way of giving back to the community.
Before we take our first commercial break, I want to give a shout out to Abigail Buzzigard, South Lafourche High School volleyball player, signing with Nicholls State University yesterday. Yeah. Stan, listen to this, man. Abigail is the first volleyball signee ever in South Lafourche High School history.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
And in reading everything, and I saw some of your social media, the thing I like, and especially since the way you had put it out there, it's not only about what she does on the court. It sounds like she is a terrific, terrific person. And last night I went in and did Friday Night Sports for HGV, and the cameraman, immediately when I walked in, I said, please tell me you went to South Lafourche. And he said, I did. He said she was extremely nice. He said, Stan, she's tall.
Yes,
she is. And I said, yeah, I've seen her. I said, now she's going to play volleyball. And he says, no, she was extremely nice, extremely grateful. So, yeah, I agree. Congratulations to Abigail.
Usually at these types of signings, you get, you know, the student athlete, mom and dad, couple of close immediate family, maybe a handful of friends. Like, it felt like the entire school was there in support of Abigail. They realized, A, that this was a big deal for South Lafourche volleyball, and B, just showed how beloved Abigail is in that community. It was great to see. And kudos to Coach Callie Noble at Nicholls State University, because the Buzzigard family could not say enough good things about this young lady who is now a first-year coach at Nicholls. They said, look, when Abigail was at South Lafourche as a ninth grader, South Lafourche had never been to the playoffs before. She left the school with four straight playoff appearances, going to the Pontchartrain Center a couple of times. That was how they said it. They said, look, now we're going to Nicholls trying to build something there. So hopefully that turns out and ends up being almost the same type of journey for Buzzigard and the Nicholls Colonels in the future.
That is awesome. Talk to Scott Gautreaux, whose daughter Emily plays with that program also. And remember, they started beach volleyball there at Nicholls. So I think that's going to pay big dividends in the long run. Had a tough season this year, but I think, you know, in the long run, you have to start somewhere. And that's kind of neat because she can kind of transcend there to Nicholls. That's really neat.
Let's take a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to go to the baseball diamond and talk to Covenant Christian Academy coach Joe Tutal. His team suffered a tough one last night in game one of their first-round playoff series, but they've got the ability to win two today. You're listening to The Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute right here on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Megan here with Vision Communications. Have you checked out Vision's Lightwave TV yet? With Lightwave TV, you get a more modern interactive program guide, better search features, true multi-room DVR, access to new channels, and so much more. Upgrade to Lightwave TV today and pay only $65 a month. That's only $65 a month and includes two set-top boxes and DVR service. Call today for offer details and to learn more about Lightwave TV, a better way to watch. From Vision Communications, bringing you a better vision.
Hi, I'm Brett Chesson, a certified athletic trainer and manager of Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that TGMC provides certified athletic trainers to high schools in Terrebonne Parish free of charge? The partnership between TGMC and all seven high schools in Terrebonne Parish allows student athletes to receive education, prevention, and care measures at school during practices and games. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. TGMC Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Miss an interview? Visit the Audio Vault at ESPN1003.com.
That is a good liner to bring us back into the show, because I was just about to announce that now, if you go to ESPN1003.com, you could listen to the Sports Corner podcast, or you could listen to today's show and also past shows. So kudos to Joey for getting us up on the web. And now any coach or, you know, person listening at home that wants to go back and catch an interview or anything like that, you could go to ESPN1003.com and listen to the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. So we go to the phone lines now. We have Covenant Christian Academy baseball coach Joe Tuto on the line. His team is behind 1-0 in their best of three series against Ascension Christian. Coach Tuto, good morning, man.
Hey, good morning, buddy.
Yesterday sounds like it was a tough ball game for your team. Fall 7-4. What was it that they were doing that was giving you problems, man?
Coach, they really had a good guy on the mound. Really good breaking ball, kind of kept us off balance, and they just played better than us. I mean, you know, we had scouted them, and we thought we'd get their ace, and the guy was everything that was expected.
So, Joe, I have to ask you this, because you and I, when we were together in the dugout many times, you would turn to me and you would say this, and I have a feeling it's what's in your mind right now. You would turn to me and say, "We got them just where we want them." Is that how y'all feel about this going into the games today?
I think so, Stan. I mean, the biggest thing is if you can win game one, I think that, you know, basically you play the next game 30 minutes later, and if we're fortunate enough to get by game one, I think we got the momentum going into the second game today.
Very good.
And talk about your plans in terms of pitching-wise. Who are you looking to give the ball to in that second game, and then should there be a third game? Do you just kind of figure it out from there?
Yeah, the second game today we're going with Cameron Olivier, who's probably our ace, our best guy, and I think he'll give us a good shot to win, and then basically it'll be pitching by committee after that.
Cameron had a good day at the plate, too, yesterday. He's kind of getting to be your all-around guy, right?
Obviously. I mean, you know, he signed with Nunez Community College, and, you know, he's a next-level player, and I think he's just a guy that we can really count on. So hopefully he can continue what he's done all year and kind of carry the team and, you know, give us a chance to play in the third game.
Kind of a tough question, Joe. You always have been a guy who said you have to play your best baseball at the best time, which is obviously now at the end of the season when you're heading into the playoffs. Do you feel you're playing your best baseball right now?
No, I don't think so. I think the injury bugs got us a little bit. I mean, with Caleb Bergeron on the shelf, which is probably our best pitcher. I mean, he's been out since the Terrebonne game with a shoulder injury. And, you know, it kind of hampers you when, you know, your best guy is on the mound. And I think, you know, I don't think we're playing our best baseball, but we're definitely not playing our worst baseball. I think we're still in good shape going into today.
So, Coach, you're the 3 seed in Division Four. You're taking on number 14, and you got to win 2 games today. How do you keep the kids grounded in terms of you're not going to win both games in one inning? So how do you make sure that, you know, they're still swinging inside of themselves and doing the little things that you did all season long today to try to push forward?
I think the biggest thing about today is basically, look, we just got to show up and be TCA, be who we are. It's really about us today, not really about those guys. And if we take care of the little things of what we need to do, at the end of the day, I think we'll give ourselves a good chance, you know, to win the game.
Listen, Ascension Christian is not a bad ball club, obviously, like 19-7, I think it is, on the year. And then going down their schedule and just looking at some of the games, I thought probably – their best game was a loss to Brule, because Brule's obviously a good program. In your eyes, was it? Did you get any scouting report on those guys early? I know you played them, I think, early in the year also, did you?
We did. We played them once early in the year. We were fortunate enough to get by them, but they didn't throw the kid that they threw last night. I went watching play Ascension Catholic and St. John, and the kid that threw last night lost 2 games to Ascension Catholic by 1 run. He lost a 2-1 game to St. John, and then he lost a 3-2 game to Ascension Catholic. So, I mean, you know, we had our hands full last night.
And in terms of the rest of their staff, is it a little bit more manageable, or who are some of the other arms that you're expecting to see today from them?
Well, they got the pitcher's brother, which they're twins, and he's pretty good. He pitched against us the first game. So I think, if, you know, hopefully if we can get in the bullpen, I think we'll give ourselves a pretty good chance.
Man, I wish we would have had some twins back in the day that could go out there. Listen, G set the template last night. He came back in 1-2, and he actually was on last week when he was talking about Vanderbilt, and he made the comment, our first game is going to be tough. But then after that, we feel like we could kind of get in a groove, and it played out exactly like he said. And I know you're not a guy to get bent out of shape after one loss and such. So I'd imagine the way you feel and the way Tristan feels and the rest of your coaching staff is going to wear down on the kids a little bit today, right?
Well, you know, yeah, I definitely think so, Stan. I mean, last year we were in the same situation against Central Catholic. So we kind of been there and done that. Nobody panicked. How many sports can you lose a playoff game and play the next day? I mean, we feel very fortunate in the best of three series. So I think, you know, our guys have been there, and I think we understand basically, you know, the mountain we got to climb, and our guys will be up for the challenge today.
Coach, the one thing that you have to do well today to move forward?
Biggest thing we got to do well is not strike out, put the ball in play, and throw strikes.
That sounds like a winner. Coach, go get them. Good luck today, man.
Appreciate y'all having me, buddy.
Joe, real quick, give everybody the start time for the games today.
4:00 will be game two, and hopefully game three is at 7:00.
Both at Southland Field in Houma. Thanks, buddy.
Yes. Appreciate you, man. See you.
That is Coach Joe Tutone with Covenant Christian Academy. I have a feeling that they're going to push through and win that doubleheader today.
I do, too. As a matter of fact, and I did not go to the game last night. I did kind of keep up, and after, usually Joe send me a text telling me exactly what went on and everything. Never a doubt in my mind. And obviously, I'm not going like lay money on a high school game or anything. Right. But if I would, I would bet that they're going to come back in this. And if they don't, it's not going to be because of a valiant effort or them kind of panicking and pressing the panic button. Like he said, been there before, done that, and I think that's what they're going to pull off tonight.
And you're absolutely right in that in this Division IV bracket, man, that 14 seed Ascension Christian, they're a really good club. They're not just somebody that, you know, usually in the smaller brackets you think as you get to those, you know, 3 versus 14 and 1 versus 16, it's going to be kind of lopsided like we've seen a little bit in Division II, honestly. Not the case here in Division IV. Every team in this bracket could play at a high level, so I'm not surprised to see CCA beat and put back on their heels in Game 1 either.
It is a direct contrast between Division II and Division IV. In Division II, there are the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah.
And the haves are the top 9, all the way down through Vanderbilt. 1 through 9, I think, are the haves. And then after that, because if you go look at the scores of the University Lab and St. Thomas More series, you're going to laugh, folks. And it's a shame because I'm not trying to take anything away from like Haynes Academy and those schools who have had to play in that situation, but they just got outmanned. I think one of the scores was like 22-0, you know, and in baseball, that's really unrealistic. Then you go to Division IV and you could go all the way down to, you know, team number 15, and they're going to be competitive a little bit. You know, Westminster's down there, and I know people in the Opelousas area who have said Westminster's not a bad baseball team, and I think they lost the first game in their series yesterday, but it was relatively close. So that being the case, whenever I saw Central Catholic and CCA up there, I still thought you better come out and play pretty good baseball. And if you take it for granted, you're going to get beat. And I, you know, sometimes you need a wake-up call. Maybe last night was a wake-up call for CCA.
Just goes to show what the point that you're making. Division IV so far in the entire playoffs there have been, let's count them, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games played and only one Mercy Rule finish in that entire bracket. So that's a 2-15. Ascension Catholic beat Lafayette Christian via a run rule last night. Every other game, including the 1-16 matchup, has gone the distance. So it's a lot of parity there, and it's a bracket that, quite frankly, we may see some upsets. I see here Central Catholic lost last night, so the 5 seed is down 1-0. Covenant Christian's the 3 seed. They're down 1-0. So it goes back to what you were talking about with Coach Joe, is you've got to play your best baseball right now because everybody in that bracket could beat you if you don't.
Well, baseball's built on arms, and it's built on pitching. And if you have one guy who goes up there, and Joe often says this to his kids, you give me a guy I can run out there that can really pitch it, I could put bags of cement at, you know, everywhere else. Actually, I could put it at the plate, and if the pitcher throws it and it hits a bag of cement and we get a good bunt out of it, you know, we might win a ball game. That being said, I guess it's the long term. It's the three games. I really like this.
I do.
I know it's hard to pull off. I understand. I get it that it's a three-game series. But if you have that three-game series this weekend, you have another one next weekend, then the next weekend you play where they're basically single games, but they're in a double elimination type form. No, they're actually not. Yeah, I'm taking that back. So, yeah, it gets a little tricky when you get to Sulphur.
Yeah.
But to get to Sulphur, at least I think they're getting the best team to move on to Sulphur by doing it this way. I don't like the situation. For example, South Lafourche had Carencro. So if Carencro comes in and plays the absolute best game they ever played this year and they beat South Lafourche in one game, it's kind of tough. It kind of, you know, makes you scratch your head and go, God, I wish it would start with the three-game series from the very beginning. Now, you and Brian were at that game, and I did listen. Sounds like Carencro's a quality program.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like they do some really good things. But, again, it's arms. Assumption was a lower seed, and you guys told me. You said, watch out for Assumption. They're going to go out, and in a single game, Assumption can play with anybody, and that's exactly what they did in the first round. Of course, now they got their hands really full with Lakeshore, but it baseball is a pitcher's game.
Wanted to send some kudos to South Terrebonne, and we intended to have their coach, Coach Barba, on during the show, but they're about ready to play game two of their series against Leedsville, so we weren't able to make it work out time-wise. But I was at that game with Leedsville yesterday afternoon. South Terrebonne had an early lead, then Leedsville came battling back, and I believe in the bottom of the sixth inning, young man for South Terrebonne hit a mammoth home run to give them a 4-3 lead, which they held on to. That was a thrilling win. And Stan, those Gators packed the place, man. It was 3 and 4 deep out on the concrete slab there behind home plate. The bleachers were full. Down both lines were full. That was a fun environment for high school baseball yesterday.
I got to tell you, Mike Barba does a terrific job of marketing his own team. He's great on social media. He's great with art. He's an Adobe Photoshop freak,
yeah.
And he loves to do these little banners and such. Well, all week, and I know this because obviously knowing the kid since he was a baby working with his dad, he is just into it and kind of put an all call out to the community and said, come support this. These kids are in the second round. It doesn't happen every year. And I think they responded. Now, listen, it was a beautiful day yesterday. It was a great day to get outside. It was, you know, a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. So everything, the stars all kind of aligned. And I would imagine they're going to have that kind of crowd there today. And one win away from moving on and being in the third round, that's really something, you know, in this area. And unfortunately, it may be against Lakeshore. I would hope that maybe Assumption comes back and wins a couple, and we'll have two local teams playing. But nonetheless, kudos to he and his staff for what they're putting together.
Coach Colley and I have actually been to Lakeshore for a playoff game. If South Terrebonne has to travel there, they're going to a beautiful facility. That is a college-level facility, should that be the matchup in the next round. But both teams have to take care of some business today to make that happen. Let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to have a coach who was on the opposite end of the spectrum yesterday. Coach G. Cassard at Vanderbilt, his team fell behind 1-0 in their series and then pushed forward and won both games last night to get to the next round. You're listening to the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
Listen up. Do you have an old mobile home? Get $10,000 for it in trade equity. Trade it. Remove it. Replace it. HOMA's best program. Call 985-872-2850 if that old trailer house has got to go. Only at HOMA's Clayton Homes. Remember, HOMA's best trade-in program. Call now, 985-872-2850, or check them out on Facebook. So get rid of that old mobile home and get $10,000 for it. Homeless, Clayton Homes.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Drivers, spring is here, and along with sun and warmth, you can expect post-winter road hazards like potholes, uneven pavement, springtime showers, and an increased number of cyclists and pedestrians. Did you know that 2018 was the deadliest year for pedestrians since 1990? This spring, slow down on wet roads, avoid potholes, and stay on the lookout for pedestrians and cyclists. For more driving safety tips, visit driversed.com.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Hey, it's Golic. Keep it on 100.3 FM, your 24-hour sports station, ESPN New Orleans.
And when you get the 8 versus the 9 seed in a playoff bracket and a best-of-3 series, we expect a lot of drama, a lot of back and forth, and that's exactly what we got between Vanderbilt and De La Salle. You're listening to the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gisclair here, Stan Gravois across the way from me. And we go to the phone lines now where we'll have Vanderbilt Catholic baseball coach G. Cassard on the line. And, Coach, I'm going to put you right into the fire here. What's your blood pressure, man? Sounds like you had a stressful night yesterday.
Oh, it was a fun night, Casey. It was, it's what high school baseball is all about. You had two good teams going after one another with the season on the line. And, man, awfully proud of our guys. They competed all night, you know, really won two emotional games, a lot of drama back and forth, and just really proud of the way we competed and you know, watch those kids have some success and, you know, get a little taste of victory there. It was an awesome night. Awesome night.
Obviously, the second game went a little bit more your way or your blood pressure was lower, but I do have to ask this in talking to some of your parents after the game and such and talking to Brett. I understand you were kind of confined to an area in that second game, huh? Both you and Jason Daigle, is that right?
No, Jason was fine. It was me and Mike Thompson that were confined to the dugout.
So what went down? Yeah. What happened?
Well, we just, you know, we had some issues with, you know, one, there wasn't a batter's box. There were some things going on in the game where we just felt the umpires were trying to make the game about them instead of it being about the kids. You know, both teams were competing last night with one season. You know, one team, their season was going to end. And we just felt at that point, you know, they were trying to be, you know, where they were influencing the game one way or the other, and we didn't think it needed to be. And it really just got staying where, you know, we had one guy who was kind of, you know, wanted to show what he was about and you know, credit to our kids for just playing through that, you know, and not letting umpires, not letting all those other factors come into play. They just play the game. We tell them that all the time. You can't control, you know, stuff that goes on, you know, with the other team or even umpires. Let us handle that. And, you know, our kids just kind of buckled down and really focused and, you know, overcame, you know, some adversity. And, you know, at the end, it was really good to see we put some quality at bats together. And, you know, they did what we needed to do to win, and it was a good night, Stan.
I got to tell you, just real quickly, this played out exactly like you said it would. You on here last week, last Saturday, you said they're going to run out a good arm to start this thing. Actually, a kid, you know, that is committed to play ball at LSU, and we're going to have to just hold up the front for a while, and if we can hold on, and it kind of happened. The only thing that may have been a little different, at least in your mind, is did you expect that kid was going to come out and only throw 54 pitches? And I must add this to it also. You put the bat on the ball on the kid. It wasn't like he went up there and struck everybody out or anything. But nonetheless, he only threw like 54 pitches in that first game. Did that kind of worry you just a little bit?
You know, we didn't think about this thing because, you know, at one point we really thought it was going to be a close game. So him coming out at a point where they could bring him back, really, you know, we really didn't plan for that. And, you know, it just played out to where the game, we had an inning where we kind of, you know, lost control of the strike zone. They got to expand it to a 6-7-1, you know, ball game, and they felt comfortable enough they could get him out and bring him back. You know, I still knew it was going to be, you know, tough, Stan, just, you know, being a pitcher and then actually being around pitchers all my life. You know, he threw 51 pitches, but he also threw 35, 40 pitches in the ball game. He threw 8 in between innings. He did that for 4 innings. The guy threw well over 100 pitches that day. And sometimes the day after you start, it's the toughest day. You know, the body is just, you know, everything's a little tired. Things don't bounce back as well as it did. And, you know, that was a factor. We knew that he was going to be in at some point. We were hoping to, you know, keep the lead. That way he didn't become a factor. We lost it late. And then when they brought him in, you know, our plan was really good. We knew, you know, breaking ball was his out pitch, and it's a really good one. And he's got enough velocity to where we had to give up something. And we were giving up the breaking ball, and we were giving up the inside part of the plate just to make sure we could stay in the middle, take the ball the other way, because he tried to, you know, strike you out on the outer half. And our guys committed all weekend. They had a great approach. And I think the two games that he pitched, talking to most coaches, they talked about how you had to eliminate his strikeout total because he was going to get some strikeouts. But at times, if you could, you know, make him throw strikes and really battle at bat to at bat, you could kind of get him the way he would be erratic. And even the game that we lost the first night on Wednesday, he only struck out 4. You know, we put some balls in play. We hit some balls hard off of him. And we felt pretty good with our approach. And then when they brought him in, you know, obviously he was a little tired. He wasn't the same guy. We really had some good swings. I mean, we locked in late between Josh Shelley and, you know, Eli David and Kobe Dufresne and, God, I could go down the list, Gavin Daigle. All those guys, Brennan Hamner had a big night for us offensively, just stuck to the plan. And, boy, they were locked in, and we really hit some balls hard off of him. He had trouble kind of with command, and, boy, it worked out really nice at the end. Because once we got to him and we beat those guys late, they were really out of tank. You could see the momentum. You know, talking about that doubleheader on Saturday, we had so much momentum winning late. And then we came out in the first inning and hung 4 on them. And you could just see, you know, the air in their balloon just kind of was deflated. And our big thing was we just had to, you know, keep hanging up some numbers because both teams, you know, we're still down. We felt like we had enough pitching, but we still knew, you know, those guys were a good ball club. But, you know, Zach Wajura came in and did a great job from the night before, gave us 4 2/3, was really solid. Evan Franks gave us a good start and, you know, played good defense. And you know, it stuck. It's nice when things work out and guys stuck to the plan. And it was awesome to watch our guys execute and have some success and celebrate last night.
Coach, just talk about the ebbs and the flows of momentum here. As you guys had a full 2 days to recover from your loss, they had 20, 30 minutes. Just talk about, you know, your team's ability to overcome and then also keep pushing forward after getting that game 2 win.
Yeah, Casey, you know, it really was because, you know, we don't play on Thursday because of the weather. So we get to come back home, kind of refocus, regroup, talk about what was going on. And I told the kids, I said, look, we got to win 2. No matter how we do it in whatever fashion, whether we win the first one, we didn't win the last one, we still got to win 2 games. And it's still right in front of us. So came back the next day and just really kind of talked about, you know, this is what they're going to do, work more offensively on kind of our approach and what we're going to see, a little bit of velocity, a little bit of breaking ball, and talking about how they were going to pitch us and sticking to the plan. And we did that. And it was really good for us to kind of, you know, you got that day where you got to kind of sit back, reevaluate, instead of getting up early the next morning like some of these teams are doing today, and you got to go back out there and your season's on the line. It ended up working out to our advantage, and you know, the preparation with the kids was awesome. And, you know, they believe. I tell you what, we're in a good play mode right now. Our kids are really confident. Great chemistry amongst the boys. I mean, they're picking one another up, you know, rooting for one another. It seems like one guy comes out, next guy comes in, and, you know, make a key play, get a bunt down, get a hit. you know, it's all about playing right at the right time of the year. And our guys are, you know, right there in that good play mode. And it's going to be fun next week.
In the old days, when you looked at the bracket, if you were, and y'all are obviously in a 16-team bracket, if you were a lower seed and you won the first round, whether it be that it was a series or a single game, and then you had to play in the next round a higher seed, you got to play at home. Not that way anymore. It looks like you're going to be going to university. It would really be nice if it would have been that situation, being a number 9 seed against De La Salle, who was number 8, where you would be playing at home. And then, you know, Casey and I, before we came on air, we actually went down and looked at university's schedule and the kind of games they played. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you kids looked at it yet or if y'all even talked about it yet. It's not that intimidating, wouldn't you say?
No, it's not. Now, I'll tell you what, you know, as of late, we played them early in the year at their place. We played in their tournament week 3, and it was one of those weekends with weather again. So we played a couple games on Thursday. We played one game on Thursday. We beat Dunham that night 3-2, and then played a doubleheader the next day, beat West Feliciana in an extra inning game where we walked them off 12-11 after we were down by 8 or 9 runs, and then had to get on the bus and bus across town from Dunham to University, which LSU had a baseball game going on that day. So trying to get in there to get into University's place with all the stuff going on at LSU baseball, we were rushed to get on the field. It was our third game. It was their first. And we played those guys, you know, even though the score was, I think, ended up 7-2, we missed play a ball late. But we played well that day and saw some things that we felt pretty good at. Now, University's a lot like, kind of like De La Salle, where they have, we know they have one really good arm, their left-hander, Carmouche, who's a ULL commit. We know we're going to get him the first day. But after that, it's the same thing. I mean, we feel really good because of our arms and the way we match up and the way we're playing and how we're swinging the bat. They're not as potent offensively as they've been in the past. And they've also, they lost their shortstop, which is also their free safety on their football team, Mr. Safford, who's an LSU commit. He's kind of got the same injury as what Josh Smith for LSU had. He's got the fracture in his lower back. So he's out, and he's their spark plug. I mean, he's what makes those guys go. He's an excellent shortstop, especially on that turf. He's the leadoff guy, who's the guy that ignites everything, and he's out. So they're moving people around. They're not as deep as what they've been in the past on the mound. They haven't played as well late. So, you know, we feel just like we did last weekend against De La Salle. We feel pretty good about going into this weekend.
Get me fired up, man. Go get them next weekend.
I appreciate it, Case, and thanks so much for having us on, Stan. Thanks for covering us, buddy. And it's a beautiful day, man. We're ready to keep rolling. It's a great time of year when you're playing baseball in May. It's always good, my friend.
Absolutely. Take care, brother. Good luck.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
G. Cassard with Vanderbilt doing an excellent job. That was a wonderful series. Happy they were able to get on the winning track, and now they're going to take on a university team. And hey, number one team in the state, you're on the road. It's a place that an opponent you're familiar with. Hey, may chips fall where they may.
Yeah, G does such a great job. I think he's an asset, and he understands. He comes from the collegiate level where there are things that he did there that he filters down. He doesn't get bent out of shape. That's why when I heard he was confined to the dugout, that he had to stay in the dugout, that I was like, G, because G's really doesn't get bent out of shape a whole lot. I do think, again, this university, and it really started before we went on air when you were giving me a rundown of that university schedule. I feel pretty good about this.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt plays good enough baseball that they understand the situation. And again, it's 3 games. It's not 1. Again, you throw anybody out there in 1 game, and if the Carmouche kid was up on the mound and it was a 1 game thing, then I might change my opinion of it. But I think Vanderbilt certainly has a fighting chance in that series.
They're hitting the heck out of the ball. 22 runs this series against De La Salle. The game before that, their final regular season game, 10 runs against E.D. White. I mean, if you could put 8-9 runs on the board every single game consistently, that puts a lot of pressure on an opponent to hit what I guess we were talking about this before we had Coach G on off the air. It's a Vanderbilt staff that doesn't necessarily have that big ace that's going to shut you out every time, but they got 3 or 4 guys that are going to limit you to 3 and 4 or 5 runs a game.
Well, Shelly, you know, you get Shelly up there probably in the first game. Of course, it hurts you defensively because he's in the middle there at shortstop usually. Then you're going to have Hamner, who's going to come in. He's going to be good. You have Evan Frank, who's going to come in. And it's kind of straight across the board. Good pitching, good solid pitching. I don't know if you have access to it or not, but and I don't want to scare the listeners out there too much, but the university games that they played in the first round of the playoffs were against, was it Haynes
Academy?
Tell everybody the scores of those games.
25-2 and 11-0.
Both mercy rules?
Both mercy rules. Five-inning mercy rule.
So they only played 10 total innings to start it all off. And for the common person out there who doesn't follow high school baseball, they might think, oh, my goodness, please go to the Louisiana High School Athletic Association site and look at the full schedule.
That's what I'm doing right now.
And you'll come back to earth just a little bit on this team. Same thing for St. Thomas More, because it looks like E.D. White's going to essentially be playing St. Thomas More if things go the way we think they're going to go today. And I think you have to look at the full schedules. Don't get caught up in that first round of the playoffs in Division II, because it is skewed, and it is skewed big time.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Right now, we have a couple of teams that have punched their ticket in Division II. University Lab will be taking on Vanderbilt Catholic. Across them in the bracket, Parkview Baptist, number 5, will be taking on Loyola Prep, number 4. Let's see. In the bottom of the bracket, St. Thomas More has punched a ticket. As Stan was saying, they beat David Thibodeau in the opening round. So let's go ahead and steal a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk some football with Terrebonne High football coach Gary Hill. It's the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center, Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
Scratch my
back. Assistance and appliances.
Are you tired of waiting in the big box stores?
Customer needs assistance in appliances. Rod Superstore.
Spring is in the air at Rod Superstore in Houma. Rod's is now an authorized Blaze barbecue grill and accessory dealer. With the Blaze limited lifetime warranty and a selection of grills, side burners, and flat top burners, along with refrigerators and outdoor island, will make any backyard a getaway. The heat is on, and Rod Superstore has Friedrich and Frigidaire window air conditioners from 5,000 to 36,000 BTUs to keep you cool this summer. Rod Superstore has home appliances by Frigidaire Pro, Sub-Zero, Wolf, KitchenMaid, Whirlpool, and Maytag. Refrigerators and freezers, ranges and dishwashers, washers and gas and electric dryers. All this and factory-trained in-house service for their customers only. Why not Rod Superstore, 808 Barrow Street in Houma.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Brittany LaBeouf, a certified athletic trainer for Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that we've given over 4,000 baseline concussion tests to student athletes in Terrebonne Parish at no charge? A baseline concussion test allows the athlete to get back to their sport in the safest manner possible. TGMC's certified athletic trainers supervise the return-to-play protocol at each high school once the physician releases the athlete back to activity. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
The flagship station of the Colonel Sports Radio Network, ESPN New Orleans.
Monday night football music from Joey D. You're listening to the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gisclair here with Stan Gravois, and we go to the phone lines now where we'll have Terrebonne High School football coach Gary Hill on the line. Coach Hill, good morning, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning to both of you.
Absolutely, my friend. It's a
You must be fishing the way you saying that, Garrett. You must be out on a boat somewhere.
Now, that might be tomorrow, but it's not
this morning. All right.
Coach, busy time for your football team, getting ready for that summer grind. I know you guys put in a lot of time and effort over the summer. What are some things you are working on right now to try to polish up this Terrebonne team?
Well, you know, we're still in the weight room, still getting a lot of stuff done in there. We'll actually start our spring practice, start our 10 days on Tuesday. Still got a couple of guys that are going to be competing in the state track meet, so we'll be short, I think, three going out to practice, and we'll have a couple of guys, a few dings and bruises from baseball season, missed a couple of days. But for the most part, that'll give us an opportunity to get some of those guys behind them ready and get a little depth developed.
Obviously, the district's staying the same with 7-5-A, but besides that, we're starting to find out who's playing who and whose non-district games or non-district games, your non-district games. Tell us a little bit about who you're going to be playing non-district.
Well, we'll open the season with Jesuit at home, and it'll be a good game for us, good test. They've played a couple of teams in our district before, and it just kind of worked out where we needed to get a home game, and they were able to come. And they've got a couple of talented kids, and it'll give us a good test to start the season. And then after that, we'll play Ellender on the road and South Terrebonne on the road, two parish rivals. And it's always pretty good games just because of the spite of the kids and the rivalry that exists with, you know, family members playing each other and friends playing each other. And, you know, for the most part, coaches coaching against each other that are pretty good friends. So, you know, those relationships are always great to have. And then our last non-district game is going to come to us in week eight. And it will have Brother Martin at home.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule, Coach. And one of the questions I wanted to ask is, you guys have a lot of prize players coming back, but what I'm curious to see with your team next fall is, how are you guys going to replace that tough physical interior running of Chaz Ward? He was such an unbelievable player. Who's going to be looked to get those hard yards in the inside of the offensive line this year?
Well, you know, you got to go probably still a little bit of the old Oakland A's playbook on that. You know, you're not going to replace him with one kid. That's just so hard to do. But we got a couple of young kids that are ready to step up and try and fill his role, and a couple of returners. Quan Allen's a kid we can put back there at tailback, who was actually Chad's backup last year and did real well when he got in and carried the ball. And we look for some big things out of him, and he'll be a starting corner for us. So he's going to have to get in shape and be able to play both ways. But he's an explosive kid that's got a lot of good skill sets, and we just got to get him ready to accept that role. And he's going to be a little bit more of a speedster and a little dasher. But then we got a young kid in Donovan Harris who can actually get in there and grind out a couple of hard yards and get his pads low, and he's going to be a sophomore. And he's been having a tremendous offseason for us, so we're looking for some big things out of him. And then we'll have a few other guys kind of play a dual role, you know, play two sides of the ball, go in and help us out. Has some multiple roles there. And then, you know, we got a kid by the name of Jalen Lucas, who happens to be Jakai's little brother, who's got a lot of good football skills with him, and he'll be able to do multiple things on the offensive side of the ball, whether it's a slot receiver or as a tailback.
Talk a little bit about the situation with it, because it's interesting. You're actually from the Orange Beaumont area, so you have T.J. Ruffin and Ward who go out that way, yet you're a Nichols graduate. So when they come back and Lamar is playing Nichols right there in Thibodaux, I know a little piece of you is going to be pulling for Lamar, or at least those two kids and what they've done for your program in the past. So things really worked out for them in the long run. We were wondering for a while, you know, where guys were going to end up, and things did work out for them, right?
Oh, yeah. Things worked out for them pretty well, in my opinion. You know, Lamar came through, and they definitely wanted to bring in the Ruffin kid, and, you know, that was a good thing for him to get out of the area and advance his chance of playing college football. You know, a lot of people thought he's a basketball player, but I think the kids really love football his entire career. He hadn't never shown anything to not show that it's kind of what he likes more. And he was a really good athlete. He was a three-sport athlete this year, was running track and playing basketball. And, you know, he made the all-district team in basketball, and then he's on our 4x1 relay team that's going to state. So he's just a tremendous athlete. So I think Lamar was able to get a steal and finding him and getting him in there and making some things happen for him. You know, when you're 6'1 and a half, 6'2, 195, and can run like he does, you know, the potential's there to just blossom as a player. And then Chaz, you know, they had some things going on with him, and then they decided that they'd rather him at tailback than linebacker. And, you know, he had some opportunities to go play. You know, Nichols did want him to go there. It's just they were financially a little bit, you know, not able to offer a running back with the running backs they have graduating, so they offered him a preferred, but Lamar offered him a full ride, so that's just kind of where the kid had to go for financial reasons. Plus, he went on his visit and loved the school, so when they do come back and play Lamar in 2 years, I believe it is, I'll be rooting for them to do well, and I hope they're on the field, and I hope they're doing some good things for that program just like they did for us.
Coach, you've probably been asked a million times about, you know, Douglas and Smith and these big guys that are getting recruited, but I want you to touch on some of the off-the-field stuff with these young men, because not only are these great players, these are great kids too, and I'm sure that's something that you're going to be looking forward to over the next couple of years, having their leadership in your locker room.
Oh, their leadership in the locker room is going to be big time for us. If they can accomplish what they need to that way, then we're going to have another successful season. And, you know, we'll start with Ja'Kai. You know, to have the humbleness that that kid's had throughout this process and to see his work ethic continue to develop. You know, the kid's just so busy, and he's out there playing some 7-on-7 outside of school on some of these club teams. And, or, you know, it's not AU, but I guess it's kind of like that with a 7-on-7. But he's out there doing that, and then he's still being a basketball player. He's still being one of our track kids. He's still working out for football. He's still waking up early on Saturday morning, going to do drills. He's going to schools, making visits, trying to figure out where his path's going to be. And, you know, he just kind of goes to school and does his thing, and teachers love him. He doesn't get in trouble. You know, he's going in class. He's getting his work done. If he needs extra help, he goes in at lunch and finishes some assignments. He's just an all-around great kid. Our administration supports him tremendously. You know, he just doesn't give you any reason to think he won't accomplish what his goals are. And he's just a tremendous kid that's done a great job of handling all of the attention he's gotten. And he's ready to be our leader. You know, he's even gotten a little thicker up top. He's probably about 190 pounds now, and he's still got some speed with him like he had before. And we just think he's going to do a tremendous job for us. And then with Mason Smith, you know, the kid's just, he's just wonderful as well. You know, he does a great job in the classroom, stays out of trouble. He stayed humble. He chose to do powerlifting this year instead of going to play basketball with a basketball team so he could get stronger and benefit himself in the weight room. And he's done a tremendous job of increasing his weight there. You know, he's power cleaning 260 pounds now. And it's just his testament of how hard he's worked. And then, you know, the kid's a sophomore taking pre-calculus, so academics and all those things just fall in for him. You know, he's definitely got a lot of tools to take his opportunity and write his path as well.
Yeah, that's awesome, Coach. And give us a rundown of some things you're looking to get accomplished here in the spring beginning next week.
Well, you know, we want to go out and we want to establish what our goals are on offense and defense and find some of those players we need to find. You know, we graduated a lot of kids, but we also got a lot of those kids back. You know, Dejon Scott playing in the secondary and his wide receiver is returning starter who made a lot of big plays last year. Randall Hartman's back. He's been a 2-year starter for us, and he's made some big plays for us in the last couple of years. Of course, Ja'Kai at quarterback, the stable of running backs we'll have that have played for us, and we know what to expect from them, and they know what to expect from us. You know, on offense, I think the hardest thing is going to be replacing those four offensive linemen that were not the biggest, but they did a lot of good things in the weight room and learned how to work together. So we're going to have some younger kids have to go and do that. Got a couple of seniors that will step in and hopefully provide some leadership there for being there. And, of course, Danny DeHart coming back is going to help us out tremendously. You know, he's a kid not getting a lot of attention, but he's 6'3", 295. And he's done a great job for us last year, so we just look for him to blossom and start getting a little more recognition. He'll be the returning starter as our right tackle. And then defensively, we feel comfortable up front on our defensive line. We'll have to replace those linebackers that we lost in the middle, and Cullen Butler and Dylan. And, you know, they both made so many plays. And we got the outside linebackers returning. And then our secondary, you know, we lose TJ, but like I said, Dejon Scott and another kid, Chavez Brown, will be able to go back there and play some of that safety for us. But when you return Quan Allen at one corner and then Kobe Carter at the other corner, the nickel, the possible safety, the kid that was the defensive flex player of the year last year in our district, you know, it makes it a little bit easier not to worry about the back end.
There are a lot of coaches out there, just real quick, that are saying, oh, my goodness, I can't even name like two or three of my kids that might step up. So, obviously, that shows what you guys have going on as far as kids coming back. Just real quickly, with Mason and Ja'Kai, do any of the other kids, they look at what's happening in the recruiting process with those guys and they aspire a little bit to be like that? So, you think it maybe steps up their game a little bit?
Oh, I definitely would go with that. You know, when those coaches are walking around on campus and these kids know that they can walk in at any time and go to the weight room or show up at practice, it just helps, you know, kind of create a little bit more of what football can actually do for you after high school. It can give you a chance to go get your college education and change your life. And, you know, that's how we look at it. But, you know, for the kids, they look at it as, oh, man, it's a college coach. I can play college football. But when they look at how Mason's being recruited and they look at Ja'Kai and then they hear the questions that are being asked and what they're expecting to see, it kind of turns on that light and lets them see it a little bit better to know what they have to do for their future. So it's definitely helped us out. And, you know, the freshman class we got right now that's working out in the weight room and in this off season, and the sophomores that are coming up in that class with it, they've done a tremendous job of trying to get to where they need to be, where they can contribute on the field. You know, we just got the freshmen. This is our second year with them. And it's the first year we've been able to put them in weight and conditioning class. And we're definitely seeing the difference between getting them from eighth grade to ninth grade versus that ninth grade to sophomore year. So we'll have some sophomores that are physically better able to handle being on the field on Friday night than we've ever had before.
Coach, thanks so much for the time. And go catch a big one tomorrow, man.
All right, appreciate that. Y'all have a great day.
Yes, sir. That is Terrebonne football coach Gary Hill. The things he talked about, first off, with Douglas and Smith, that's not just lip service. That's not just me trying to help two local kids out. They really are great kids, very humble, very hardworking. And the second part, and that was one of the last things he talked about, I didn't realize this, was getting the kids a little bit younger and getting them for that extra year in their program, man, that makes a big, big difference.
You know, Terrebonne was the last school in the state of Louisiana to not have the ninth graders at the high school.
Wow.
Now, it's still a little weird because although the ninth graders are considered part of Terrebonne now, they still are housed at Houma Junior High. And for you people who are really old out there and remember back in the day, it was actually called Terrebonne A and Terrebonne B. You know, and you used to call Houma Junior High Terrebonne B. Well, there are plans. You know, one day they're all going to be in the same area. And it's really, you know, you just walk underneath the stadium and you're at each of the schools. So they're basically on the same campus. But nonetheless, Terrebonne High was the last school in the state of Louisiana to have ninth graders incorporated with the high school. And that was tough for them because they were playing 5A football and did not count the full allotment of ninth graders because they didn't have the ninth graders there. Now they are, so I think it'll make a difference in the long run.
I didn't realize that they were the last one, but, man, kudos to them for getting that done. We're at our top of the hour break. When we get back, we're going to go to a longtime coach who's getting back into the game. That's EDY football coach Kyle Lesang. You're listening to the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
It's the spring sales event at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Stop in and check out all the new ways the 2018 Chrysler Pacifica Touring L is outshining and outclassing the competition. The 2018 Pacifica Touring L is the most technology-advanced minivan in its class, and it's now $81.99 off MSRP. Visit us at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat at 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. WAC excludes TTNL. CCAP bonus must finance with Chrysler Financial. Non-prime must have Beacon score 620 or less. LD truck owner loyalty must own an LD pickup.
Have you mixed your pain meds, your sleep meds, your allergy meds? Call the Poison Helpline. Has your child eaten a tube of toothpaste, a chip of paint, a wild mushroom? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you been bitten by a spider, a snake, an insect? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
An adult elephant can weigh up to 6 tons. The average person, 150 pounds. Ever heard of carfentanil? It's a large wild animal tranquilizer. Illegal drug dealers lace heroin with it. It can kill the average human. If you or a loved one is addicted to opiates, even pain pills, don't wait until it's too late. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. We care. Many of us have been where you are. We'll take you or a loved one away from the drug environment to a place you can clean out safely. Plus, we'll work with your insurance company to make sure you get the treatment you need. And with a Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed by law to get away for help without telling your employer why. Call now to save a life.
800-694-1127. 800-694-1127. That's 800-694-1127.
Come into Firehouse Subs and try the brisket sub, piled high with brisket that smoked 16 hours and sliced to perfection and topped with cheddar cheese and sweet Davy Ray's barbecue sauce. Or try the new Cajun chicken sub, full of flavor and only around for a limited time. Firehouse Subs slices their meat daily in-house to provide the freshest quality product. Go to FirehouseSubs.com or download the Firehouse Subs app and use our online ordering. Give Firehouse Subs in Houma or Thibodaux a call for all of your catering needs.
Firehouse Subs wants to wish the Nicholls State baseball team the best of luck this season.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
And it's the beginning of hour two of the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute, where your host Casey Gisclair and Stan Gravois. But just to let everybody know, I am producing and I am working. It's not a rumor.
Joey Diaz.
Take it away, guys.
Roaring on this Saturday morning. You're listening to the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We're trying to get EDY football coach Kyle Lesang on the line. Sure, he's going to give us a buzz here in the next couple of minutes, but it allows you and I to get a little bit off track here and talk some NFL draft. I was at a family function yesterday, didn't get to be by the TV, but I was following on the phone. The New Orleans Saints were sort of in that same mode that they've been in, which is, hey, we're going to trade away a couple of poker chips at the next game so that we could have a few more poker chips at this game. And they made a move and got a center, a position of need, and a pretty doggone good player to boot. Sounds like Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton are trying to find ways to help out next year's club.
Well, and I mentioned this last week, I defer all the time when it comes to the draft. I say defer, but I obviously read Mike Dettillier's book and look into it. He's got McCoy from Texas A&M, the center that they picked up and shuffled around for as the number two center in the draft. And then when you listen to all the pundits across the nation talking about the guy, you're thinking, good God. You know, Sean Payton and Loomis know what they're doing. Again, they hit a guy who everybody thinks is going to be really good in the NFL. Of course, with Max Unger taking off, there was that void. The only thing I don't understand with Nick Easton, the guy they picked up in free agency, what's his role going to be? Were they not confident in that pick? He was hurt last year and didn't play last year. So it does make you sort of wonder. But again, this guy is supposed to be the real thing. So let's hope he is.
Reading Todd McShay, this is a direct quote. He says he has experience playing guard, so that'll maybe lead to some of the plan. And he also says he's big enough to play the center position in the NFL. Might be a better fit there considering that he's an inconsistent shotgun snapper. So that may be a little bit of a concern. But to get to the more of the positives, Todd McShay says he is one of the smartest offensive linemen in this class, an above-average pass blocker, and an outstanding run blocker. So that's Eric McCoy of Texas A&M. Sounds like he's going to be a pretty doggone good fit, and he's going to do some really good things. A chance to be a starter here in New Orleans for a long time.
As an ex-coach, I just say this, obviously, just on the high school level, we always wanted those kids who were gritty and they were grinders and they were all of those things, but they were great locker room guys too. This guy, as a junior last year, was the captain for Texas A&M's offensive squad, and they did it where they voted weekly who was going to be your captain. For 13 weeks, he was their captain at Texas A&M. So that, yeah, that says tons to me. So again, I think the Saints have went out in the second round because it's, you know, they're very, very popular for getting a really good draft pick in the second round. It looks like they may have done it again. And what they also did, although they lose some draft picks along the way, they did pick up, if I'm not mistaken, a fourth round draft pick that they didn't have. They were going to have to wait around and wait till the fifth round. So they got a fourth round draft pick, and maybe that's somebody else who's going to turn out to be something really special for the Saints.
So, yeah, that's a good point, is they traded this year's second, next year's second, got back a second round pick that was a little bit further up in the draft, and then also a fourth this year. So it's, didn't give up a whole lot. I mean, gave up next year's second round pick. That's significant. But if you could cash in on this pick and you could cash in on that fourth round pick, it might be a good situation for New Orleans. And one thing that I think is significant about this is if there is a type of pressure that Drew Brees does not deal with well, it's when it's coming right in his face.
Great analogy. I agree with that totally.
So, you know, to have the middle of that line secured, I think that that's very significant. I think the Unger retirement is something that's kind of being under-talked about or under-reported, I guess, and how significant that actually is. So if the Saints could shore that up, that'd be very, very big for next coming fall.
So what's your thoughts on Greedy Williams? Well, let's go to LSU guys. Obviously, Devin White and Greedy Williams. I hate the idea that we're going to be seeing Devin White twice a year the way we are, because we're going to be pulling for him, but not pulling for him. And then Greedy Williams really drops. Your thoughts on that?
Devin White is a vicious tackler. He is going to, I think, be very, very good in Tampa. I think he's got a chance to be an all-pro, Pro Bowl type of player. Now, to talk about Greedy, is Greedy has a lot of talent. He's gifted playing the ball. I think Greedy has shot himself in the foot a little bit throughout this process, and I know that you agree with some of that as well, is that you don't play the bowl game, okay? A lot of guys don't play the bowl game.
But Leonard, it's the way he handled it, you know.
Christian McCaffrey didn't play his bowl game. And you're right, I don't think he handled it well. And then the process of he didn't take any interviews or any meetings with any teams. And it's the analogy that I use is if I'm trying to get a job and you know, the supervisor calls me and says, hey, you know, do you want to come meet with us and talk about this? And I say no, I'm not going to get that job.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's not surprising to hear that every team passed on this guy for one whole cycle of the draft and that he fell to the middle of the second round. I hope he does well. He's going to have some LSU guys out in Cleveland that can maybe help mentor him and turn him, you know, from a young adult into, you know, a grizzled veteran in the NFL. But I'm not surprised that he fell as far as he did.
And also, when he does, you know, get the call from the Cleveland Browns and the press talks to him, the first thing he says is, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm going, guy, come on, guy. And it seems like guys who felt like they were slighted, I know Haskins kind of mouthed off a little bit too, that people were going to be sorry because he dropped as a quarterback a little bit. That being the case, you know, I would prefer he just go out and do his job and prove everybody wrong. Everybody who was out there who had any doubt that, you know, he shouldn't have gone in the first round, just prove them wrong. Devin White, the thing that amazes me is I was reading this morning where there's a columnist out in the Tampa area who put that it was the wrong pick. They should have got somebody that was a little bit more splash. And I'm going, well, who exactly is more splash than Devin White? And I realize, you know, everybody wants a great defensive lineman who can rush a quarterback and things like that. But nonetheless, if the Saints were sitting at number five and they had the opportunity to get Devin White, I'd probably be a little disappointed that they wouldn't have.
Yeah. I think of, you know, again, looking at it from a Saints perspective, knowing they're going to have to face this kid twice a year, the things that give New Orleans problems, and I think back to that game against the Cowboys where you got Jalen Smith, you got Leighton Vander Esch, guys that are able to cover smaller guys in space and make tackles. Devin White could do all of those things. Now, Tampa's defense has a long way to go, but that's a good foundational building piece to try to help them in the future.
And I'm not saying anything any Saint fan out there doesn't know. It's tough to sit around and see the Falcons come in with Deebo Jones, and it's going to be tough, you know, and Beckwith and you know, when Alexander was with Tampa Bay, it's tough to see all of those LSU guys, and you question the Saints a little bit on maybe either not getting some of those guys or misevaluating. Nonetheless, they seem to end up in the NFC South, and that's going to be tough with Devin White being there.
Speaking of that division, a little bit of an interesting move yesterday is that Carolina makes the decision and drafts Will Greer from West Virginia.
I saw that.
Cam Newton's not an old guy, but to draft a rookie in the third round, Joey's pointing, rubbing his shoulder. I kind of agree. Is Cam Newton's, you know, I'm not to say that he's not going to be there next year. Obviously, he will be, but is sort of the final chapters here maybe being written. That was a very curious move for me.
And listen, he's a guy, when they talked about all these quarterbacks, obviously everybody's having a problem with Jones going to the Giants that early, but they were talking about Haskins, you know, and they were talking about Kyler Murray and all of this, and I was like, man, I had always been impressed with Greer.
Yeah.
Greer just, you know, I guess because, and truth be known, I'm probably more of a Saturday guy watching collegiate football than I am an NFL guy, although I obviously enjoy the NFL too. I thought, man, Greer is a really good quarterback, and I don't know what all of these guys who really know what it takes to be a professional quarterback know, but I thought he had it. And when I saw him go, I didn't realize it was to Carolina. I just saw, you know, a flasher across the bottom of the screen, and it said Will Greer. And I said, hey, somebody's smart. And then I looked closer and saw it was Carolina and went, something's up. And I thought the first thing was is the injury to Newton. And maybe they're a little concerned about that. And I don't know what kind of attitude Greer has about the game, but there are guys coming out of college who think they're really good who, I don't want to say they could be a disturbance in the locker room, but you get that air that they want to be on the field. And a lot of people are saying that's why the Jones kid went to the Giants, because he's not going to be that kind of guy with Eli, because they're friends ahead of time, you know, and they both were on the Cutcliffe as a quarterback. But this kid, if he goes in there and he feels like he's a player, the first time Cam Newton does something that's not right, you're going to hear the Carolina faithful saying, hey, well, you got this guy. Let's give him a shot. So it might be very interesting there.
We're kind of delaying this segment here, and the reason why is because the Saints are like seconds away from making their next draft pick. So we're trying to give that to you here before we take our next commercial break. They're on the clock right now. The NFL draft says that the pick is in. So when New Orleans makes their pick, we'll give it to you. Curious to see what direction Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis go here.
My phone's going, okay, it's not me.
I don't know what the pick is. Well, actually, it's coming up right now. Let's see. The New Orleans Saints with the 105th pick in the NFL draft have selected.
You better watch out, because they play these things out for a while sometimes.
A player.
They're holding us in suspense.
No, keep it going.
I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to say Gerald Willis of Miami. I don't know that.
That would be a great hometown guy. Yeah. Comes home. That would be kind of neat.
But you know they could fool you. They could go with somebody totally opposite.
No, and that's the Saints MO. It's not what you usually think. I would have to imagine it would be a defensive position.
Yeah, that would be my guess as well. We're trying to figure this thing out, but as Stan said, they are leaving us in suspense.
Well, you're right, though. It does say the pick is in. So with that being said, it has to be within moments, I'm imagining.
One would hope. You're listening to the Sports Corner here presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center. We do have that pick, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, a safety from Florida, who I don't know very much about. But in a couple of minutes, we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to do a little research and tell you about that young man. And also, we're going to have South Lafourche boys basketball coach Brian Kiley on the line, who probably will also want to hear about this pick as well, as he's a big Saints guy. You're listening to the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 Radio.
Warm weather means baseball, but it also means swarming termites. Hi, I'm Nichols baseball coach Seth Thibodeau. When I want to strike out termites, I put the local experts Dan Foster and Billy Foster in the game. Terminex targets termites where they live and eliminates the colony. Call the local team at Terminex of Houma for a free inspection and quote on termite protection. It will be a home run.
Terminix is a proud supporter of Nichols Athletics.
Rogers Parts is having a tool and equipment sale beginning April 15th through April 30th in all locations. You'll get the opportunity to purchase quality tools and equipment at extremely low prices. The Napa NASCAR replica will be at Rogers Parts in Lockport April 16th from 9 a.m. until 5. Bring your children to experience the thrill of a race car with our simulator. They can sit inside and get the feel of driving an actual race car. Rogers Parts, nationally known, locally owned. Locations in Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
On The Sporting Life, Jeremy speaks with some of his favorite guests.
The film was pretty good, but it didn't rise up to the best docs. It didn't make me cry. You took the short route on a lot of the production.
Whenever boxing has an opportunity to shoot itself in the foot in terms of regaining its resonance with your average sports fan, it invariably shoots itself in the foot. And this is a real opportunity.
Download this and every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Hi, I'm Brett Chesson, a certified athletic trainer and manager of Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that TGMC provides certified athletic trainers to high schools in Terrebonne Parish free of charge? The partnership between TGMC and all seven high schools in Terrebonne Parish allows student athletes to receive education, prevention, and care measures at school during practices and games. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. TGMC Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
Follow us on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner, presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gistler here, Stan Gravois. Now we go to the phone lines where we have one of our regulars here. He's actually usually in the studio with us, but he's enjoying some family time today. South Lafourche Boys basketball coach and athletic director Brian Colley. Coach Colley, good morning, man. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man. Getting an opportunity to talk a little bit of Tarpon basketball with you this morning as you guys are doing some workouts and everything to get ready for the summer. So what are some things you're seeing in your kids right now?
Yeah, well, we're in the weight room trying to get a little bigger, faster, and stronger, and trying to get tougher like we talked about earlier. It's just not one thing, you know, being you want to get stronger, but we need to get tougher. A lot of times we get out tough and learned a while back that the toughest teams will win games. And if we can get tougher, I think that'll translate to a few more victories for us.
Brian, I got to tell you, when Casey sent out last night that you were going to be a guest on the show, I said, oh, my goodness, I got to go find the hard-nosed question for Brian. I got to find that thing that's going to put Brian on the spot. But I really can't come up with it. I've always told you I'm such a fan, and I told this to Casey before we went on air. If I'm sitting outside of a high school gym 50 yards away and somebody tells me there's a high school ball game going on, the first thing I ask is who's playing. And depending on who's playing is what's going to happen as far as I go in that gym. And when South Lafourche is playing, I always enjoy your brand of basketball and the way the guys, you know, are running sets and you're doing things there. That being said, I'm going to kind of throw some of the same questions you asked when it's basketball related. When you're setting up a schedule, power ranking, not only power rankings, but in general, to make you a better team, do you have a philosophy? Do you have a way that you set up your schedule each year?
Well, you want to try and look where you can compete with teams that are going to win 12 to 15 games a year. But like we talked about last week, year in, year out, you're not sure. I mean,
right,
teams and programs
right.
change so much. So the basic thing, you want to play some competition. Look, the kids, when we scheduling games, I'll go up to them and say, y'all want to play such and such a team this year? And they're like, oh, yes, you know, big-time programs. They're not shy. They want to play these teams. And you know, it's high school, and it's not all about winning. We all want to win, but you want to give these kids the best experience possible in high school and playing some of these big-time programs. That helps out.
Coach, lose some talented seniors, but you do have a great core group coming back as well. And it's almost sort of exact opposite of last offseason where you lost the vast majority of the players that were contributing to that playoff team there. So to have a little bit more experience coming back has got to make you feel pretty good as a coach, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're right. We, from the 2 years ago losing 8 seniors to this year losing 3 seniors, it's a big difference. And but like I told the kids, I said, look, if we don't get stronger or and change some things that we're doing, we're just going to be a year older making the same mistake. So I don't want them falling into the trap, if you will, of, oh, y'all are returning so many juniors from last year, and, you know, y'all can be so much better. Well, not necessarily. You know, if you don't put the work in and we don't improve, you could get the same results. So, but it is it's a nice luxury to have a lot of these kids coming back where they know our system. We're familiar with each other. And, you know, it's more of a family. And, you know, well, we love these kids, and we spend a lot of time with them. And, you know, hopefully that can, that'll pay off for us starting in the summer.
A lot of the coaches out there have mentioned when they come on with us related to basketball, you don't have to have your basketball schedule done now, but most prudent coaches out there have kind of put it together a little bit. If you can, what tournaments would you be involved with next year before your district slate starts?
We're going to keep our tournaments the same. We start off at a Thibodeau tournament, Thanksgiving tournament. Coach Clark does a great job in running that tournament. We go to Assumption that first weekend in December. Then we're going to go to Patterson the week after. And the last weekend in December, we go to EDY, the EDY tournament, which we've been going there for years. Coach Keith does a great job with that tournament. He has a lot of good teams that come in and some great competition.
While it's on my mind, you mentioned Tony over at Thibodeau, and I just thought of something. Between you, Tony Clark at Thibodeau, and Andrew Caillouette at HL Bourgeois, there are very few basketball head basketball coaches who are also athletic directors. How does that affect your coaching? Do you try and do everything as an athletic director around your basketball season? Talk about some of the things you've had to go through being – because I do have to give you kudos, and Casey mentioned it earlier, yesterday with Abigail Bouzegard. I know you're the one who kind of reached out to people to be there for her signing, and that's part of your role as an athletic director. And by the way, a terrific job. It was obviously well run and went very well. But from your standpoint, what are the pitfalls of being both of those, and when is your toughest time of the year?
Well, there's some things, I'll be honest with you. Being the AD and the head basketball coaches, you want to hold yourself up to a little higher standards being athletic director. And when you're coaching, a lot of things you preach to your other coaches on your staff that you have to follow through. So there's a lot of times where I need to keep my emotions in check and, you know, not do some silly things, and because we expect the rest of our coaches to do the same. So in that aspect, you know, you got to – you got to lead by example, I guess, and not do these sometimes foolish things that can get you technical fouls and things like that. And but the hardest time for me is at the beginning of the school year, starting in July with all the paperwork with football, making sure all these guys are eligible and they all cleared with the state. So the first part of the school year is really the busy time where, and Coach Clark can attest to this, we talk to each other often at on Sundays, you know, you find yourself at school a lot of times on the Sunday afternoons just trying to catch up or not fall behind on all this paperwork.
Coach, before we let you go, man, give a shout-out to your basketball camp. You guys have been doing this for such a long time. Give us a rundown of the dates and everything that you're going to be doing here this summer.
Yes, Tarpon Basketball Camp, the dates, I think it's around June 12th, 13th or so, in that time frame. It's going to be the 29th year that we've been running these camps. In the past, we spend 2 or 3 weeks having different sessions. I think this year we're going to go down. We'll have it one session. We'll get forums out there, and I'm sure we'll get it to you guys on the radio where you can, you know, announce it for us. But 29 years straight in the gym. We started at LCO Junior High way back when doing these camps, and it's something I'm proud of. That you know, we do it right. We teach fundamentals. And we're trying to have a little competition, you know, sometimes along the way in those camps. But it's a great time, and it's helping us build a program.
29 years, man. I'm sure you've had campers that now you're coaching their kids and different things like that. I'm sure that's got to be a wonderful type of thing to see.
I thought he was like 31. I didn't know. 29 years. Wow.
Sometimes it feels like 41. But you know, it's crazy that we have some, when we're doing our little award ceremony, see parents and all come in, and, you know, I'm looking in the stands, and I see, you know what? I have a parent that came to the camp as a camper. So, it's been a long time seeing a lot of great talent come through those gyms.
Sounds like a winner. Coach, enjoy your Saturday, my friend.
Have a good weekend, Brian.
Appreciate it. Y'all take care. Thanks a lot.
That is Coach Brian Colley with South Lafourche High School, boys basketball and athletic director. And Joey, I'm being told by Coach Kyle Lesang, let's go ahead and give him a ring. He says he's by the phone now. So we're going to have Coach Kyle Lesang here on in just a minute. I have a scoreboard update from Berg, Louisiana, where South Terrebonne is trailing 2-1 against Leesville in the bottom of the second inning. Thanks to Nick Sinak for giving us that update. They were in a situation where Leesville has an arm that is a Northwestern State signee. He threw in the opening round, was not eligible to throw yesterday. They're seeing him right now, actually now being told Leesville leads 3-1 after the second inning. So again, thanks to Coach Sinak for that update. So the Gators were in a situation yesterday where they knew they had to win game one because they knew that there's one of the games in the series, game two, where they would have been sort of behind the odds, so to speak. So they're going to just hope to try to survive game two, maybe try to steal it, and then game three, hope that they could take advantage of a little bit of a depleted pitching staff.
Well, you hit it on the head when you were talking about G. Sometimes it's nice to play that doubleheader where you only got a half hour in between, because if you win the first one, you have all the momentum in the world. That's what Joe Tutone's hoping for with CCA today, and I guess that's what Leesville's hoping for a little bit. Interestingly enough, I was worried about the South Terrebonne kids because Leesville actually lost to Buckeye twice this year and in pretty convincing fashion. And, of course, Buckeye lost to South Terrebonne in the first round of playoffs in a mercy run rule game. So that being the case, you got to make sure that these kids understand the playoffs are the playoffs. You better be ready to play, and let's hope they can come back in these next few innings.
Coach was sitting around waiting for the NFL draft to call him in this round, but he said – since it's Casey and Stan, he's got time. Coach is on the line, man.
Let's go to the phone lines. We have EDY football coach Kyle Lesang. Coach Lesang, good morning, man. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. It's busy time around EDY right now. We got some baseball going on. I'm headed out to the state gymnastics meet. We got prom tonight, so keeping me busy.
Absolutely, and I'm sure football's keeping you busy too, man. Where are things headed? You guys are probably about to begin spring football. How's things looking so far in your off season?
It's going really well. We're going to start on Wednesday. We're going to go Wednesday and Friday this week. And then we're going to go 4 days the following week and 4 days the week after that. So everything's in place. We're ready to go. We've got a bunch of kids who are in some other sports right now. We've got track, we've got golf, tennis, and obviously baseball. So we're hoping those seasons get prolonged a little bit. We're going to miss those guys on the first couple days, but everything else is in line. Kids are excited about going out and competing, and that's really the point of spring.
Coach was saying congratulations on being back. You did such a great job your first round. I got to tell you, it's probably, and I'd ask you to speak about it a little bit, being away a little bit for a few years, and I know you've been at the school and you know the kids for the most part, maybe not necessarily everything they do on the athletic arenas, but – do you think it's kind of helped you, rejuvenated you? You see football in maybe a little bit of a different perspective than you did before, which, and let's assume it's a positive perspective.
Well, I got to say, after 10 years of doing it, I got out. I enjoyed the first couple months of being out, and then I missed it immediately. And I always knew I wanted to get back into it. When I look back at 10 years of doing it, it was basically take the things that you did well. Let's keep those and let's improve on the things that you didn't do well. And there are a few things that, you know, the first go around, I thought I didn't do as well as I could have. I think it's a huge advantage being at school, being able to see the kids, having relationships with the kids. But looking back at the first go around, it's really not about X's and O's. Of course, you got to be prepared, and you got to have a good coaching staff, and you got to get the kids ready to go on Friday night. But the biggest thing for me is relationships and having great relationships between coaches and players, and among coaches and parents, and players and parents. And nowadays, that's I think the biggest thing that
we're working on. And for that, in that respect, I was dedicated to visiting each kid at their house with their parents, sitting down and talking with them. And I'm about midway through that process. We had about 120 kids signed up, but I knew right away that the relationships that I had with the kids were going to be the most important thing. So I'm in the process of doing that, as well as getting ready for spring football. But I'm really, really excited about getting back into it and having that feeling of Friday night. There's nothing like it. So ready to get back on the sideline.
And, Coach, most first-year coaches are sort of in a situation where the staff's all new, or, you know, you're bringing in a lot of different guys. But you're going to be in a situation where you're going to have last year's head coach on your staff, so you're going to know a lot about these kids. That's right. Got to be a big luxury as well.
Absolutely. One of the very first things I did was I asked the coaches about our kids. Not necessarily who can play, who can tackle, who can block, but what kids have the right attitudes, where we need to try to put these kids when they get on the field. And having that staff in place was a huge advantage. Coach Bergeron, you know, he's been with me for a long time, does a great job with the defense, and will continue. And him knowing those kids has been a huge bonus. And then Grant Chasson is going to run the offense for me, and he was there last year as well. So he's been able to have some input. And like I said, I don't necessarily think it's all about X's and O's. We've been really, really consistent in what we do on defense since Coach Bergeron has been there. Offensively, we're going to change a little bit, but it's really not that about the spring. It's really figuring out where to put kids and then developing relationships. But I got to say, it's been tremendous having five guys still on staff. And then I went out and got six more guys to come and fill out the staff. I didn't think we had enough on staff to really do things the way we wanted to. So excited we got, 11 coaches on staff now, which we haven't had in a long time. I'm going to rely heavily on those guys.
Very good. Coach, if you can, talk a little bit about the scheduling. Did Chris do that before you had actually got in? And if you can, talk about your non-district schedule.
Right. Yeah, Chris had it all done before I got in. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even look at the schedule till probably about 3 or 4 weeks after getting the job. I really wasn't concerned about the schedule. I was more concerned about us and how we move forward and how we change things and what needs to be changed, what doesn't need to be changed. But this season schedule is going to be challenging. We're moving into a new district, of course, picking up St. James and Letcher, and then heading back to Highway 90 with Berwick and Patterson and those guys, Donaldsonville. And then pre-district, we're going to have Vanderbilt, where we're going to start, and then we're going to have H.O. Bourgeois, South Terrebonne, St. Charles is on the schedule this year, and Assumption. So it's a challenging schedule. There's not an off week in that schedule. So we're going to have to get going as quickly as possible, start fast, and then let it happen. But I think that the move back to 3A, even though it's probably created a more difficult schedule for us, has put us really where we belong in terms of numbers.
I just have to say this before I turn it back over to Casey. I was fortunate enough to work with a good guy, and he's obviously my first cousin, but, you know, in 1991 over at South Terrebonne, Eric Wagasback, who is now on your staff, yep. And Eric immediately, in his first tenure when you were there and went over to E.D. White, we all often talk, and he said, "Stan, Kyle and Chris, I'm so enjoying this. These guys are on the ball. They got it." He was so disappointed when you stopped that first round. So I spoke with him the other day. He's in heaven now. He's listen, he enjoys Chris too. And everybody who comes up to me and says, "Man, how do you think that's going to work with a guy who was the head coach on the staff?" I said, that's going to be not a problem at all over at E.D. White, because you all are so close. But you just mentioned it. You have your staff together, so it's pretty much Katie bar the door now. Y'all are on the roll, right?
Yeah, we, Stan, I love Coach Wagg. He's been loyal to us, and he's been a rock on our staff, I'll be honest with you. And I actually had a staff meeting with him this week. He took some of the younger guys under his wing and went over the entire defense with him. And so he's just a guy that I can count on. And he's always excited about coaching. And he, you know, he doesn't have to do this. He enjoys it enough that he does come out and help us. And I appreciate his work because he's one of those guys I can count on day to day. You know, one of the things that I didn't do well last time was that I didn't give my coaches enough responsibility, and I learned from that. And so Coach Wagg is going to be a huge part of our defense. He's going to handle all of our secondary, and I am, you know, entrusting that to him because I know he's capable of doing it, and I know he wants to do it. So he's going to be important to us. This coming season.
Boy, Kyle, if we were all independently wealthy like Eric is, then we could just do those things. And listen, and on a serious note, he certainly was an integral part of us winning a state championship in 1991. So I do think you have a good one, and he raves about you guys, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Stan.
Coach, thanks so much for the time, my friend, and you guys have a wonderful and successful spring, and good luck in the fall.
Thank you, Casey. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. That is ED Wide football coach Kyle Lesang. He did an excellent job his first go-around. He's going to do an excellent job again this next go-around. Good friend of the show's. And interesting tidbit about Coach Kyle is every once in a while we see him at an independent wrestling show. He likes going out watching the little local wrestling out in Houma.
Find out things about coaches. Now, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And actually, I didn't know it about you, so that's pretty cool also. But he loves basketball.
Yeah, he does.
And you don't find head football coaches, I'm not talking about assistants, but usually head football coaches, they're so wrapped around football that the winter time is their time where they just kind of sit back, and they may do a spring sport, but usually not. He loves basketball also. So again, I, you know, just having a few ties into that program, they are so excited there. The parents are excited. I think it's great that he's going to see every parent. Can you imagine that? He's going to the home of every parent.
Awesome.
And talk to them. And according to Eric, part of that is to say, listen, I know you may not have the trust factor you had before because I left, but let me explain my situation. And I think that is awesome.
That is awesome. So over at the NFL draft, we had an interesting pick just made. The Washington Redskins selected Bryce Love from Stanford. Remember Bryce Love, a Heisman candidate at one time, kind of was riddled by injury. So now you tag team Bryce Love and Darius Geis in the same backfield. You got two bowling balls. Those guys could be tough to tackle.
I forgot about Love. I didn't realize, you know, when all of this was going on, because he was a guy we thought a year ago was, you know, going to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
So that's an interesting sleeper pick in the fourth round. He fell, but I think that if he could get healthy, that's going to be a good tandem out there in Washington. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we get back, Stan and I are going to talk a little bit more about the draft and perhaps break down some of these high school brackets and maybe even talk a little bit Zurich Classic. You're listening to the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Scratch my back with lightning bolt.
Greg LeBlanc has the deal. Shop now online or in person at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Our new express store makes shopping online easier than ever.
Ever.
We now offer home delivery. Get the all-new 2019 Tundra TSS off-road for just $32,990. That's just $32,990 for a new off-road Tundra four-door. All Louisiana residents are welcome to participate in Greg LeBlanc Toyota's low, low prices on new Toyotas. Shop online. Shop now at GregLeBlancToyota.com and save today because Greg LeBlanc has the deal.
Model 8239, MSRP 38449, 4,000 rebate plus TTNL.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old, inefficient system's imminent demise.
So costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat. Its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
Car Rescue Wayne's Air and Heat. Rescuing you from the heat and cold and saving you from high prices. Call 985-532-6640.
Golf is a four-letter word, and at Golf Tech, that four-letter word is sale.
Sale.
Right now, our swing evaluation and club fitting are both on sale for only $95 each. So get your game on with stroke-saving lessons and perfectly fitted clubs at Golf Tech. Find your nearest Golf Tech at golftec.com. Visit golftec.com.
Swing better. Play better. Golf Tech.
Have you been injured on an offshore rig or know someone who has? Then you'll want to work with a firm that truly understands maritime law. Offshore injuries are governed by a set of laws that are quite different than land accidents. So it's important that no time is wasted finding the best maritime attorney for your case. An experienced attorney from the Gagery Law Group will help determine what your next step should be. If you need legal advice or have been injured offshore, call Gagery Law Group today at 985-223-4400 or follow us on Facebook. Get Gagery, get results.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
From the preps to the pros, we cover it all. ESPN New Orleans.
What's this here, Joe?
Oh, little taxi.
Okay.
Little taxi. You crossing taxi. You're crossing the twin span right now.
There we go.
Back to my guys with some... I don't know if it's going to be high school, college, or pro, because listening to y'all sometimes, like watching the NFL draft, the selection's in. And we wait. So, Casey, Stan, the floor is back to you guys.
Well, we actually have good news to report from Berg, as South Terrebonne was trailing 3-1 earlier in that ball game. Well, again, thanks to Coach Nick Sinak for giving us an update. Top of the third inning, it's now 3-3. The Gators have scratched a couple of runs across, get this, on a pass ball and a balk. So wow. South Terrebonne has now tied it up 3-3 in the top of the third inning.
As we've been talking about this today, I'm starting to think to myself, in these three-game series, the second game is the most important game. And I would imagine South Terrebonne wants to take care of business, and they don't want to get into a third game there.
They won yesterday 4-3, tied up 3 apiece here in the second game. Should they fall in that game too, they will be playing at 2 o'clock today. The reason why I told Coach Sinak to text me scores is because if there is a third game, I'm going to go on out to Berg and support those Gators. There's a big crowd. I'm curious to see them hopefully punch a ticket into the quarterfinal round.
I would love to be there with you, but grandson's 1 year old today, so
hey,
some things take precedence. So happy birthday, William. Obviously, he doesn't know what I'm talking about, but happy birthday, William. I will say this, too, and I would imagine a pep talk from Coach Barba might be, and the reason they came back, and it's 3-3 now, he probably called the kids in after they were down 3-0 and said, guys, do you want to go to your prom or not? Do you want to get ready earlier for your prom or later for your prom? And those guys are probably saying, yeah, we better take care of business.
That was a big storyline earlier last week, as they were worried about where they were going to be in the second round. Kids wanted to go to prom. It ended up working out for them. Hopefully they could go to prom on a successful note and celebrate with a quarterfinals berth. And you know, one of the fun things about this time of the year is you get to really see sort of the makeup of some of these teams. And I'll tell you a story about yesterday's game with the Gators. Is they were in the first inning, had a young man got hit by a pitch, and the umpire called him back, said, hey, no, you didn't try to get out of the way, or you stuck your arm out, whatever it may be. And the kid kind of, you know, talked back a little bit to the umpire. And then the next player to plate struck out looking, and the kid kind of turned around and, you know, kind of Coach Barba went ballistic, said, guys, stop complaining, play baseball, it's the playoffs, not everything's going to go your way. And the rest of the game, not a word of lip from the Gators. They played, handled adversity, and scored a hard-fought win. That was a good piece of coaching from Coach Barba, and a good job by his team responding to that criticism and getting a big win.
And he probably made a huge influence on the umpires by doing that. You know, it's part of the game, and those umpires probably said, you know, this is a team that obviously has discipline and they're trying to do the right thing. Kids will be kids. Interesting thing about the playoffs, and most people know this, when you get to a situation where you're playing at home, you're responsible to call and get an association that's outside of your area. And that being the case, they probably have not much, I wouldn't imagine, familiarity with whoever came in to do these games. So, yeah, you want to set the tone right, and they probably did that. I'm not sure if those same umpires stay in town for the whole three-game series, but, you know, I would imagine Leesville stayed in the Terrebonne Parish area last night, being that it would be ridiculous to leave last night, go all the way back to Leesville and then come back today. And we're not talking about Leeville, Coach. We're talking about Leesville. So that's one heck of a – the Wampus Cats. I still, to this day, do not know what a Wampus Cat is.
I was just about to ask you if you knew what their mascot was because of that. It's so awkward. The young man on the PA yesterday kept saying, "Whoa, and the Wampus Cats," and I giggled every time he said,
"You know, the only reason
what is a Wampus Cat?"
No idea. I do remember in 91 when we were looking at the playoff brackets in football, Leesville was in our classification, and we were looking at everybody, and there was a chance we may have had to play them. And when we went on the directory to look at, you know, their mascot and what they were, it was Wampus Cats, and I've never forgot it. Yeah, most are. I shouldn't say most famous, but a guy who went there, great LSU running back. Would y'all remember who it is?
The Diesel.
Yeah. Good job, Casey. Cecil the Diesel from Leesville. Of course, the people there probably are like, "God, please don't say he's our most famous guy."
Casey, what you say since you brought it up? Is it part Puma, part what?
Yeah, Wampus Cat is like a big black panther. It's a big, vicious-looking animal, not an animal I'd want to run into.
Not this one, but the others.
So do you think we have that around the Leesville, you know, area?
I hope not.
Yeah. I sure hope not. I don't know where. That's why I love South Lafourche and South Terrebonne. The Tarpons? Makes sense. The Gators? Makes sense. You know, the Tigers down here, I realize we're LSU people, and of course the Tigers at LSU were named after, you know, the Civil War and such. But, yeah, I like when you can come up with a – I would go for mosquitoes before I go for some of these things, some of these people call it.
So the Gators are alive in the 4A bracket. They've got to win one out of two today. If you look at some of the other locals, again, just to kind of recap everything going on, in Division II, Vanderbilt has punched a ticket to the next round. They beat De La Salle 2 out of 3, won 2 games yesterday, 1 in 8 innings in game 2, and then a decisive victory over De La Salle in game 3. They're moving on to the next round. They'll take on University Lab. That'll be a series next weekend out in Baton Rouge. That's a nice facility out there. I would encourage everybody that's capable of making that trip to maybe consider doing so. And I think LSU baseball is actually home next weekend as well. So maybe fans can double dip and catch both. That'd be nice. Let's see. E.D. White scored an 8-3 victory over St. Louis yesterday. They are playing right now in game 2. I don't have a scoreboard update for that. I'm going to try to fish one out here in the next couple of minutes before we get off the air. The Cardinals need to win 1 out of 2 games. And if they do, they'll take on St. Thomas More in the next round. That would be out in the Lafayette area. That would be, let me tell you, a very good series with a lot of college players that would be playing on those fields there. Locally also in Division 4, we have Covenant Christian Academy, who is still alive, but they've got some work to do today. They've got to win 2 games today, 1 at 4 and then 1 at 7 against Ascension Christian, because they lost yesterday's opening game of the series 7-4. So if you're in the Houma area or surrounding areas and you want to go and watch that series, that'll be at Southland Field, 125 Provost Drive in Houma, Louisiana. That's a nice facility to watch a high school baseball game, and the Covenant Christian Academy Lions have to win too. But man, it feels like there are a lot of local teams that are in the driver's seat, and we may be getting some mid-May high school baseball here locally.
That would be nice. It's not common in baseball, quite honestly, in this area. I'd love to say that it's a lot better. Second round is always great. I'm not taking anything away from any team who even made the playoffs, but I got to tell you, the third round is where you start to really open your eyes and say, look, this is a possibility. So, yeah, I do hope that all of our teams that are still in, including Assumption, who's taking on Lakeshore, I hope that they all play well today and they could possibly work their way into the third round.
They had the regional track meet here in the last couple of days. They actually combined the 4A and 5A meets together to try to beat the weather. And, man, I was looking at some pictures, and I've been to a couple of track meets this year. We've got a lot of talent on those tracks. Between the Terrebonne runners and the Vanderbilt runners, and South Lafourche has a young lady who throws javelin, who's very gifted. There are going to be a lot of locals who are going to go up to Baton Rouge here in the next week or so, and they're going to make a name for themselves and maybe bring home some medals.
Yeah, and you know, kudos to the Vanderbilt girls. Obviously, they won the regional meet. And to Thibodeau's girls, they came out second in the regional meet. Carr and you know, the Warren Eastons of the world, now that the New Orleans area is a little bit more consolidated, it's really, really tough because they're so good with so many athletes in the area. But the team was John Curtis in that thing, man. The girls and the boys from John Curtis were extremely good in 4A and then in 5A. I'm sorry, in 5A. And then in 4A, you had Edna Carr, who is always a big team. Vanderbilt might put enough points together to win that thing for the girls next weekend. So certainly congratulations to them. And congratulations to Thibodaux High, South Terrebonne, and E.D. White. They teamed up to host that meet on Friday, and they found out a day before on Tuesday that they were going to merge the meets together. And how you merge a regional meet together, I don't know, but with the high-tech timing system and all of that, they pulled it off, and it went flawlessly, and they got it done.
I don't know how, and again, this again speaks to the hard work and dedication of our local coaches. I don't know how they ever put any track meet together. I mean, there's people moving all over the place, and you got to have volunteers at every station.
That's why you see some high schools just don't do it, and it's a shame because they realize the work that goes into it. You have some local coaches that, and listen, one of the innovators of that, of putting on a really good meet, was Joey Guidros here at South Lafourche High School. Francis Labatt and Steve Barber do a great job. Coach Haydale, for the longest time at Thibodaux, and he still does it. He's retired, but he goes back and he helps out. He does a great job of putting it on there at Thibodaux High. So some of these schools have bought the latest in timing systems, and you got to be a little bit into computer science to do these things these days. So,
and one more time before we get off the air, we talk a little bit of Zurich Classic. As we were talking about the desire to have some bigger names on the leaderboard here. This morning, one big name kind of shot up is John Rahm and Ryan Palmer actually now lead. They're 15 under par. They're being chased by a whole slew of teams. I know one thing is right now 19th place is just 5 shots off the lead, so that tells me there are going to be a lot of guys who are going to be competing for this thing. I see Sergio Garcia and Tommy Fleetwood 11 under there in 11th place. Bubba Watson and J.B. Holmes are 11 under. This should be an entertaining finish, and also some interesting news coming out of Avondale is that after this tournament gets done, they're going to sort of break out the dozers and do a little bit of construction to the golf course. Curious to see what the course looks like next year for this event.
It's beautiful now. You're right. It is going to be interesting to see. You mentioned, well, if we could ever get Tiger Woods in, that would be awesome. Who do you think Tiger Woods would play with if he ever had to team up with somebody?
I have no idea. And
that would be interesting.
This. I've thought about this. I know some of the younger guys are kind of getting closer to Tiger. But wouldn't it be wonderful to see Tiger and Phil on the same team?
That'll never happen.
I don't think it would either.
Might. I know he was really close to O'Meara, who is actually playing on the seniors tour now. And I know that this guy's just a commentator, but Bega.
Nota Begay.
They are very close. But, yeah, I would be curious to see who he come into town. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but wishful thinking.
That would be wonderful to see. But we want to thank all of our coaches for joining us. It started with Joe Tutom, Covenant Christian, then had Vanderbilt baseball coach G. Cassard, Gary Hill of Terrebonne football, Kyle Lesang of E.D. White football, and then, of course, Coach Brian Colley of South Lafourche basketball. I want to thank everybody for listening. And again, if you missed any part of this or want to go back and, you know, make sure that you heard the coach right or whatever it was that he was saying, ESPN1003.com. So you guys have a wonderful weekend. It's great weather. Go out and enjoy. God bless everybody.
Hi, I'm Brittany LaBeouf, a certified athletic trainer for Terrebonne General Medical Center's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that we've given over 4,000 baseline concussion tests to student athletes in Terrebonne Parish at no charge? A baseline concussion test allows the athlete to get back to their sport in the safest manner possible. TGMC's certified athletic trainers supervise the return-to-play protocol at each high school once the physician releases the athlete back to activity. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to TGMC.com.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
There are over 9 billion animals raised on farms and ranches across the country each year. For far too long, those animals were not afforded protections to ensure their humane treatment and care. Luckily, times have changed, and more farmers are raising their animals in accordance with American Humane's ethical and science-based standards. American Humane is this country's first national humane organization, and is committed to working with farmers to offer ethically driven consumers humanely raised products. The next time you're in the grocery store, be sure to choose products that are American Humane certified. The purchasing decisions you make each week can positively impact the lives of billions of animals on our nation's farms and ranches. Live better. Live healthy. Be humane. To learn more, visit AmericanHumane.org.